Do you remember when you first heard about ISIS? Was it the beheadings of kidnapped Westerners? Was it news reports about the ongoing takeover of parts of Iraq and Syria? Surely, following the attacks in Paris, everyone now knows it exists, ISIS or ISIL or Daesh, the various acronyms for names the group calls itself. All those names are versions that include the words, in English or in Arabic, Islamic State. But just how Islamic is the Islamic State, really? Some in the group claim it's fulfilling a particular religious view of law and society, but other Muslims say the name isn't fitting at all. Today we're talking with leaders in the local Muslim community about those questions and about the impact of the group's label on their faith communities. Joining us are Imam Suleiman Salam Jr. He heads the Al-Haq Islamic Center Mosque here in Kansas City. Welcome to you, Suleiman.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
We're glad you're here. Manaz Shabir is on the advisory board of the Crescent Peace Society and on the board of the Greater Kansas City Interfaith Council. She's also a management consultant. Manaz, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon.
And finally, Arif Ahmad is secretary and founding member of the Islamic Center of Johnson County. He's also a real estate broker. Arif, welcome to you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm very glad you all could be here. And I want to start with what I think is a very difficult question. It would be difficult to ask a practitioner of any religion, but the question is, what is your religion about? What is Islam about at its heart, in a sentence or two? What makes a person Muslim, or what makes an idea Islamic? Imam Salam?
Well, our religion, Islam, in itself, has at its base, its core, Salam. Salam is the root for Islam.
It's also your last name.
And it happens to be my last name as well. And Salam means peace. So the object of Islam is to live a life that is pleasing, rewarding to the Creator first, and thereby giving peace to your own life, your own existence. So Islam basically employs on those that say they follow it to not only establish peace for themselves, but to extend peace to others. And that's the basis for what Islam is.
Manaz Shabir, as a lifelong practitioner of Islam, is that how you understand the heart of your faith?
Absolutely. I always look to see what we can do to better the community as well. Just recently, Imam Suleiman and myself with the Crescent Peace Society, we provided warm clothing and turkeys to the community that are off of Prospect and 31st Street. So our intention always is to bring peace and to provide peace. That's part of our faith.
And Arif Ahmad, you too have been, you've been a Muslim for a long time. What does it mean to you to be one?
Well, I was fortunate to be born into a Muslim family, so it came to me naturally. Mm-hmm. To me, Islam is more about others than about you. Hmm. It's about how do you see others and how can you help place yourself in a productive way. And that to us is the whole concept of Islam and being a Muslim, not being only for yourself, but for others and extending yourself, as the Imam said, in the bigger picture.
Now, I have to say that the images and the language the three of you are using to talk about Islam is somewhat different than I think what some would take from current conversations in the media, maybe among political candidates. As they talk about Muslims or Muslim immigrants or Muslim refugees coming from Syria, how much room is there in Islam for diversity of views on what Islam is? Are you presenting us one view, but that there is a range of legitimate views, or are those images actually off base? Arif?
It's a very, very critical question that you've just asked. And let me look at Islam from the lens of other religions as well. Islam is a religion, mm-hmm. right? And it depends on what you bring into it. So if I'm a violent person, then my Islam is going to be violent. Hmm. Or my Christianity is going to be violent, and my Hinduism is going to be violent. It's all a function of what you bring into it. So you're right. We would differ in our viewpoint, but what we do not differ is what do you bring into it? If my preconceived notions are of extending violence, then regardless of what hat I wear, I would be bringing violence into all my interactions.
Is there room for violence in a truly Muslim understanding of the religion?
Well, I would look at it from this place, too, though, is that there's about 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. And so that's a lot of people. And just if you took a bell curve of what Arif is talking about, there's going to be people that are mentally healthy and there's going to be people who are not. In Islam, we have rules of how to behave with one another. And it doesn't matter where we are in that spectrum of 1.5 billion, like how we the practice of praying and fasting and going for the Hajj and giving charity. These are all tenets that no matter where you come from the world, this is what you do. In fact, when I show pictures of the Hajj to my non-Muslims and they see the number of people there, they even asked me, are there lines on the ground? Do people? I said, no, we all know. We just know where to stand. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that there are bad people in the world, and that's what Arif is talking about. They have chosen this group of men to call themselves Islamic State because it's a propaganda war. I wouldn't dare even call them that way because they're not practicing as what I would call as a Muslim. So what happens, though, is the Western media, when we pick up on that and then it gets propagated, then we have the collapsing of the names, and when people don't understand what Islam is, then they associate it more in the violence versus the good things that we do as Muslims, like what we did on Saturday, for example.
Imam Suleiman Salam, you minister to a religious community here in Kansas City.
That's correct.
Muslims in the United States are less than 1% of the population, in Kansas City even less than that, even a smaller proportion. That seems like that's a very different environment than in some of these parts of the world where the so-called Islamic State is gaining traction. How is it different serving and leading people in an area where they are such a minority in terms of their religious beliefs?
Well, I think to some degree that gives us somewhat of an advantage. I want to respond to that, but
please.
I also wanted to add something
to the previous
conversation. Islam, at its core, again, is exactly what the three of us described it as. Are there rooms for interpretation that might lead someone to some ill-conceived notions of what Islam is or what it should be? Absolutely. And as Arif was saying, that people bring different things to Islam, when they come to Islam, they bring certain things to it. And I think therein lies the problem. Islam is a way of life. I don't even like to refer to it so much as a religion, because religion suggests that there are certain ideologies that you follow, certain rituals that you have to follow, a certain dogma that you have to follow. And although these things exist in Islam, what Islam actually is a way of life. And the way of a life that Islam invites people to is the exact same way of life that Christ Jesus invited his followers to. It's the exact same type of life that Moses invited his followers to. There's no different in that way of life. Now, there's a prominent Muslim scholar who once said, if I had met the Muslims before I met the Quran, I never would have become Muslim. Which is to suggest that people bring their own human behavior and their own human ideologies, and what they try to do is fit Islam into their world. And actually what should take place is we should try to fit our world, our thinking, our behaviors into the confines of Islam. And when we don't do that, that's when we have problems.
So we're talking today about the so-called Islamic State and just how Islamic it is, actually, with local leaders of the Muslim community here in Kansas City. That was Imam Suleiman Salam. He leads the Al-Haq Islamic Center. Also, Manaz Shabir is here and Arif Ahmad. I want to just sort of, for the sake of argument, sort of ask a question that pushes back a little bit. And there's an article in the Atlantic Monthly this month that asked some of these questions fairly controversially, but the article in its first section says, the reality is that the Islamic State is Islamic, very Islamic. And Graham Wood, the author of that piece, goes on to argue that we're hampering our ability to confront the Islamic State as a nation when we keep saying how un-Islamic it is. He goes on to say, yes, maybe it's a twisted or a fundamentalist interpretation. Maybe it's rooted more in medieval Islam than in present day Islam, but it's not true to say that it isn't Islamic. Is there any merit to that? Is there anything that can root the actions of today's so-called Islamic State in something that might ever have legitimately been considered part of the religion? You're shaking your head no, Suleiman.
Absolutely not. In fact, so the comment that I previously made about the Islamic scholar who said the Quran versus the Muslims, that's where we have to start. Some scholars would suggest that the prominent source for Islam is the Quran, the Hadiths, and the traditions, right? The truth of the matter is the absolute prominent source for Islam should be the Quran because it was sent by God. And then the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, those should be the primary sources for Islam. So if you go back to those primary sources, particularly the Quran, you will find nowhere in there where God advocates for this type of violence. In fact, in the Quran, there's a very often repeated verse of the Quran where God says, if you kill an innocent person, it's as if you have killed all of mankind. The Quran advocates for people to have balance in their life. In fact, God says, I've created everything in the heavens and the earth, everything in the heavens, and made it justly balanced so that you might observe it and then learn to have balance in your life. He further says that this religion, this way of life, is a way of life that follows the medium course. In other words, you're not supposed to go too far to the left or too far to the right. You're supposed to stay the medium course. So if that is the primary source for Islam, there's no way that an extremist view on either side could be considered Islamic.
But I would also say this. Let's look at the Ku Klux Klan. They can say that's a Christian organization, but I think the average Christian would not call them Christian. Mm-hmm. In the same manner, this organization, it's a propaganda name. I mean, I think that we need to be clear about that too. It's not a name that any of us would use that for them, just like no one of the Christian faith would call the KKK Christian in that same manner. So what I would say that I don't think what gets mentioned in the news as often either is that this group of people have killed more Muslims. So this is a so-called Muslim group who has killed thousands of Muslims. They've killed religious scholars. They've killed women and children, which is totally against what the teachings of the Prophet, the Quran, are practice.
Far more Muslims than Western or non-Muslims.
Yeah, what gets in the news, unfortunately, are the horrible actions of like Paris and the beheadings. But what doesn't get in the news is how many Muslims have been killed by this organization.
Arif, I want to ask you, you can certainly add to that. I'm curious about the ways that you're seeing Muslims, either here or elsewhere, sort of fighting back against the claims being made as part of what Manaz called a propaganda war by the Islamic State.
She used the right term, although I think it's more than propaganda. It's mayhem. Mm-hmm. It's murder. Uh-huh. Let me respond back to add to what the Imam said. Islam, like all other Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Judaism, has a huge wealth of texts, treaties, people, institutions. It all depends on what you bring into it. Now, somebody who has, and if you are looking for something to convince yourself to go down that path, you would find it in every scripture. For example, the gentleman who goes and blows up the abortion clinic is finding support in the scripture somewhere. But that doesn't mean that Christianity condones it. Mm-hmm. But he's finding his interpretation.
Now, you think that's an apt comparison? The Christian who blows up an abortion clinic or joins the Ku Klux Klan, right? You think these are good comparisons to what Islamic State is to Islam?
Actually, I have one more comparison. Let me give you this example. Joseph Kony, Uganda, Lord's Resistance Army. This person has been responsible for kidnapping 66,000 children, mm-hmm. displacing 2 million people.
In the name of religious faith.
In the name of what he thinks is, he's a very devout Catholic. But here is the twist, and it is such an interesting twist. He does all that, says he wants to support the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, how perverted can you be? Is that an example that tells you it is about people and what do they bring to the table? I would just add, beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. You will find what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I and you cannot stop somebody from finding the evil if they're looking for it.
Wow. Well, let's continue that conversation in just a moment. I want to invite our listeners, though, to be part of this conversation as well. What do you think, or what do you need to know about Islam and ISIS? If you've heard something on the news that makes you wonder or makes you worry, give us a call and let's talk about it. 816-235-2888. You can also tweet. We're at KCUR Up to Date. It's 235-2888. If you're part of the local Muslim community, we especially would love to hear from you about your perspective and your experiences. So get in touch with us now, 235-2888. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske today. Do you want to try something new this Thanksgiving? You can hear Doug Frost's wine and cider recommendations that we heard earlier this week. Those are at kcur.org/up-to-date. Up to Date is taking the rest of the holiday week off, but you can enjoy special programming at this time tomorrow and Friday and be back here with Steve Kraske on Monday. We're talking today about ISIS, the so-called Islamic State, and about whether it's really so Islamic. We're speaking here with leaders of the local Muslim community, including Imam Suleiman Salam of the Al-Haq Islamic Center, Manaz Shabir, who's on the advisory board of the Crescent Peace Society, and Arif Ahmad, who is secretary and founding member of the Islamic Center of Johnson County. We want to invite you to be part of the conversation. You can tweet at KCUR Up to Date. You can also call us at 816-235-2888, and I see that a lot of you are doing that. We'll get to your questions momentarily. You know, the very language Islamic State is part of the problem as local Muslims hear that language, right, Manaz?
Absolutely, because for those folks who don't know Muslims or understand our faith, and sometimes I get called as the token Muslim when I'm in a meeting or a gathering, they don't know how this affects us. So every time the word Islamic State is used, it hurts every Muslim that's practicing the faith in the way the Prophet and the Quran has taught us. So right now we're having the spillover effect today, again, towards American Muslims. The mosques are being threatened. Human beings are being threatened. And so I would prefer not even using ISIS or ISIL. Right now, the interchangeable word is Daesh. They're just criminals, is what I would call them. And how would you address criminals mm-hmm. in general?
Yeah, I will say it's an interesting question for news organizations because the group, so to the degree there is an organized group, is calling itself that, and so it's difficult to know what language to use. But it's a subject of much conversation. Arif?
Actually, Manaz has touched upon something very critical. Please do not use the word Islamic as an I. Actually, we in Johnson County, the Muslims, have actually decided to do something about it. We've launched a campaign which calls Not In My Name, hashtag Not In My Name. If you drive down that street, you will see the mosque displaying that banner right now. You will see 400 families coming together, more than 400 families coming together last Friday, and openly telling with your NPR coverage that these people should stop using my name, not in my name anymore. Mm-hmm. We've got to put a stop to it. They have been abusing our name, and we will be silent no more.
I want to ask you, Suleiman Salam, you lead a local mosque. Has your mosque experienced repercussions as a result of recent events involving ISIS?
Our mosque has not actually received any of the repercussions at this point, and I pray that we never do. I do recognize that some people may look at Muslims who are not indigenous to this country and look at them maybe slightly different than they do those Muslims who were born and raised here in America. And so that may become a bigger problem. And I think also early I was starting to say that I think that we are at somewhat of an advantage being born here in America. Even my perspective is slightly different. When I, for example, when September 11th happened, those horrible tragedies of September 11th, and I saw that on the news, I said to myself initially, oh my God, this is absolutely the worst day ever to be a Muslim in America. I mean, I felt so down and depressed about what happened and rushed to go get my children from the Islamic school because I was afraid of what would take place afterwards. A couple of days later, I saw a news report that said that the Quran became the number one best-selling book. And I said, wait a minute. Maybe this really isn't the worst day to be a Muslim in America. This is a good time. And that may seem very, very strange. And I know some may take exception to what I'm saying. But my perspective is this. God allows everything to happen, and everything happens for a reason. And my perspective was that if, for example, people were not using the word Islamic anything, we wouldn't be on this radio conversation mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. It opened up the dialogue for more people to become informed, because ignorance and fear are the cause for all of the things that happen. And like, we fear what we don't know, and we challenge people out of ignorance. So once people become engaged in dialogue, and for example, when the Quran was the number one book, more people were actually engaging it and reading it for themselves. So when they were right. saying there's a Surah 9, verse 11 that said the eagle will soar, people went and said, no, that's not even there. It's not even possible. right. But unless somebody picked up the book themselves to see it, they would have just taken somebody's word.
Growing awareness may be a silver lining to what is otherwise a pretty tragic situation.
Absolutely.
816-235-2888 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. What are your questions about Islam from local Muslim leaders, particularly in light of all we're hearing about the so-called Islamic State? Vincent is calling us from Westport. Vincent, welcome to Up to Date.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your question?
All right. Well, I had a comment. I agree
Please.
With what they were saying about what you bring to religion, because how quickly we forget Christianity was the backdrop of slavery with here in America. So often the New Testament scriptures that slaves were supposed to be obedient to their masters was the primary scripture used by slave owners and people who justified their wrongdoings towards blacks in America. So, yeah, you can take a religion and pretty much put any idea behind it and say, hey, God is for this.
Thank you so much for the call, Vincent. Appreciate it. Do you all agree with that comparison? Because I would say that there was a significant portion of Christianity in the United States who would have had that interpretation of Christianity for more than 100 years. The religion seems to have evolved since then, but at the time that was considered by some to be within the mainstream. That's a little different than what I hear you saying about Islamic State within today's understanding of Islam in the bulk of the religion, right?
Yeah, what is this group of people, the Daesh group, they have a political agenda. And they're taking it out and using the religion as the basis to move their agenda forward. And if you don't agree with them, you will be killed. You will be slaughtered. And that, none of that is part of what Islam teaches.
Right. Let's take another call from Norman in Prairie Village. Norman, welcome to Up to Date.
Thanks for taking my call. So my question is, how do we respond as a civil society to Daesh or ISIS? Do we go to war and try to kill them all because they're criminal elements? Do we try to educate them? Is there a role for the Muslim community? I'm not sure what we should do.
It's a great question, Norman, and a very relevant one for the present moment in American conversation. If it's not a religious issue, then is the answer only military, or is there a reasoned or spiritual approach to addressing it? What do you think, Arif?
Well, they came into being not for religious reasons. Their existence is justified because of political, territorial, and reasons, primarily because of the vacuum. So the answer to their mayhem and murder does not lie in teaching them. It lies in responding to them appropriately. Let's put a little of a test there. Who are their victims? 99.5% are Muslims. Mm-hmm. Who is supporting them? A small section of the Muslims.
So, Arif, would you say then that from your perspective, a military response is really the only appropriate response?
A military response without a political mired response will not be effective. You have to do both of them together. Mm-hmm. And you have to have partners who are the worst hit by this organization, which are your Islamic countries, which are mm-hmm. very much terrorized by these people.
So a response rooted in the organization, not the religion.
They want the discourse that's happening, like right now, with the politics, with the candidates from the Republican Party saying what they're saying. This just feeds into their propaganda of saying, see, this is how Muslims are treated. This is why we have to do X, Y, Z.
Say just a little more about that, Manaz, or the other guests can too. Are there particular things that you hear from, you mentioned Republican candidates, from any political figures that are feeding, in your view, establishing success, giving success to the movement?
Well, right now, the people that are suffering the most in Daesh's work are the refugees, and there isn't enough that's being done for them. And so now, when the word comes that the America was going to take so many, and this incident happened in Paris, it just immediately, a certain party says, okay, we're going to close the border. And again, it goes into the immigration issue. I mean, they just kind of collapse all of these on top of each other. And it becomes an us versus them, totally forgetting the American principles of like what the Statue of Liberty even says, mm-hmm. Bring me my poor, the tired. And so when we have this kind of discourse and we have a candidate that says that we want Muslims to carry ID cards, or that they're a name of some kind, or even outright lies, that hurts all of us and it goes right into their propaganda.
Speaking there of Donald Trump, language attributed to him about ID cards. Let's take another call from Emily. She's calling us from Topeka. Emily, good morning.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm just curious what the panel would suggest that we do call the group, in Syria, instead of ISIS or Daesh, is there something that they recommend instead to lessen the emphasis of Islam in their actions?
I appreciate that question, Emily, a question a lot of news organizations are asking, too. Other than calling them terrorists, what's the name that makes sense to use? Any suggestions, Suleiman?
Well, I think terrorist is accurate for who they are and what they do. Islamic terrorist is not accurate. There's nothing Islamic about what they're doing. So that's the point that I think that I'm hoping to make, and I believe that the other panelists are as well. There's no question about the fact that these individuals are terrorizing folks, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And I think that if they were not attaching themselves to the religion of Islam, but they were attached to some other faith, the lead would not be Christian terrorist or killing folks in Miami. It wouldn't be Jewish terrorist. So I think that it's somewhat unfair that even if they call themselves Muslims, that they would be labeled as Islamic terrorists. They are simply terrorists.
Or even the man who killed in the black church on the East Coast.
Absolutely.
They never called, and he was killing them and saying Christian. He was a Christian, but he never was referred to as a Christian terrorist because it had nothing to do with Christianity.
Right. Last word, Arif?
I wanted to add to what Menhaz just said. It's not only what the politicians are talking about Islam, it changes from the flavor of the day. At one point of time, the flavor was, let's go and hit the Mexicans. Then it came to be Muslims. Mm-hmm. 2 days back, an African American was kind of mistreated in a campaign. So it's an open season, and they are doing what they can because that's the shortest recipe to get people's attention. Let's use wedge issues.
Suleiman, when something like the attacks on Paris happen, what do you say to your congregation the next time you gather? What's the word?
Well, when something like what happened in Paris happened, what I actually went to them and said, obviously, first is a reminder that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that you're not a human being until you love for your brother or sister what you love for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so the loss of life, depending on it, regardless to religion or race or gender, is the loss of life. And as human beings, we should pray for them. And we should be more conscious of loving each other and working together for humanity.
It's a good place for us to end today. I wish we had more time. I want to thank my guests. That was Imam Suleiman Salam. He leads the Al-Haq Islamic Center here in town. Manaz Shabir, part of the Crescent Peace Society and the Kansas City Interfaith Council. Arif Ahmad from the Islamic Center of Johnson County. Thanks to all of you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.